O Holy Spirit, you who give life, bless this, our coming together as we speak and as we listen by your help. This will come fresh from the heart. Permit it also to go to the heart. We ask this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. What must I do to have eternal life? Religion can seem so complicated. While some folks barely give a thought to what faith is about, others take it so seriously that you might wonder if anyone can live up to the requirements. To what extent do you really have to go? Some folks take on unbelievable spiritual discipline. You can admire others for their high standards of morality, clean living, clean speech, and all of that. And then there are other people who are so incredible about doing good things for other people, you can hardly keep up with them. So which one of them has it right? So I can understand the rich young man who's apparently trying to put all that stuff together in his one life. Eternal life is important to him. He wants it. So he's doing everything he can to get it and have all the assurances that he's covered all the bases. And still he wonders, am I doing enough? And then he hears about Jesus, this holy teacher, new on the scene with an incredible reputation. Not only does Jesus teach like he knows what he's talking about, but he's doing it. He's doing what he says. He's touching broken people and making them whole. He takes just a few groceries and feeds thousands. He's raised the dead, and it sounds like he's just the kind of guy that can walk on water. So the rich young man seeks Jesus and finds him. And you can tell he isn't already one of Jesus' followers, at least not yet, because while the disciples would have called Jesus Lord or Master, he addresses Jesus formally, as one would address a teacher of his day. Good teacher, he asks. And then he asks Jesus with increasing intensity, what must I do? Obey the commandments. Jesus is always going to go and recommend the following the basic law of the Jewish way. But the young man answers, pressing harder, already been there, done that, but it still feels like there is something missing. What else do I have to do? And that's when Jesus unloads the challenge most of us simply don't want to hear. Give away everything you have and follow me. That's when you enter into eternal life that you can experience now. In other words, that's when in this life you can become perfect or whole. Enter the realm of heaven now. Experience salvation today. Can that be true? Truly obeying the commandments and loving neighbors like you love yourself means giving up everything? This is the rich man's moment of truth. When Jesus kind of holds up a different sort of mirror so that he can get a better look at himself. See the colic in his hair or the yogurt he dripped down his shirt. It happened this morning. He had always seen himself one way, as righteous and striving to be perfect. No, now he sees the different truth about himself, and it doesn't quite look like he imagined. Well, that's the same kind of self-discovery Ebenezer Scrooge undergoes when the clock strikes 12 again, and the ghost of Christmas present leads him to see the cold truth. The first sight he sees is of a town that's alive in the Christmas spirit, even though the weather is gray and gloomy and cold. It's the people who are filling it with joy transforming the city streets with cheer. Church bells call good people to worship, dressed in their best clothes, carrying their dinners, and mending quarrels, since quarreling just simply won't do on Christmas Day. And then Scrooge is led to the home of his assistant, Bob Cratchit, a family rich in love and joy despite their meager existence. Existence that's meager, I might add, because of Scrooge's own stinginess. And Bob comes in the house carrying his little son, Tiny Tim, who's ill and broken, but spiritually so alive and strong. "God bless us, everyone," Tim says, riding high on his daddy's shoulders. Bob tells Mrs. Cratchit that Tim behaved well at church and afterward said the strangest thing. That he, now this is written, remember, in 1842 when there was not inclusive language and there was not language quite sensitive like we use today. He tells Mrs. Cratchit that Tim said the strangest thing, that he hoped the people saw him in church because he was a cripple, and it might be pleasant to them to remember upon Christmas Day who made lame beggars walk and the blind to see. This is the point Scrooge realizes that he's beholding as fine a human being that he could ever lay his eyes on. Later he asks the spirit with an interest he had never felt before, "Tell me if Tiny Tim will live." "I see a vacant seat," replied the ghost. "In the poor chimney corner, in a crutch, without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die." I think this is the turning point for Ebenezer Scrooge. "No, no, kind spirit," he says. "Say he will be spared. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, none other of my race," returned the ghost, "will find him here." "What then? If he be like to die, he had better do it and decrease the surplus population." Scrooge hung his head to hear repeated his own words quoted by the Spirit and was overcome with penitence and grief. With that, the ghost of Christmas present drives home the most apparent truth of all. It may be in the sight of heaven you are more worthless and less fit to live than millions like this poor man's child. Until this point, Scrooge has seen himself as practical, upright, worth a place in the sun. He's been about his business, and he's done his business well. Only the more he sees and hears others are saying about him, the more he considers his own attitude, his own behaviors, comparing it against the pure spirit of Tiny Tim, and the more he understands the truth. Scrooge's life has been about, all about, Ebenezer Scrooge. As such, it's been full of hatred and cynicism and has grown uglier every year. Even someone like the rich young ruler, whose life is immersed in all things righteous, would have to admit the very same thing, though. It's been all about him. What must I do to have my eternal life? What must I do to take care of me? And so the mirrors are held up by a benevolent ghost for Scrooge, by Jesus for the rich man, and the same challenge is given to both. change the whole orientation of your life. Be concerned for the tiny Tims and the poor and the hurting. Pay attention to your spouses and children, the boy selling the goose at the door, the bakers and the store owners down the street. Bring others joy. Bring others love. Worry about their salvation. Worry about following Jesus. Jesus said, those who want to save their lives will lose them, but all those who lose their lives because of me will find them. In the end, it's not just about you. It's not just about me. It's about pouring ourselves out for Christ's sake. Jesus said, heaven is found in your giving all you've got. Give it all you've got. In the end, it makes a difference. Your values will have consequences. And as in the case of Tiny Tim, sometimes those consequences can mean life or they can mean death. Sour old Scrooge, the rich man intent on being righteous. There's a big surprise here in these two stories now meshed together. The big surprise is how they end up so differently, not the way that you would predict. The rich young man sees the truth about himself and decides the cost of discipleship is just too great. He can't afford to follow Jesus. And so he rides off in sadness. But it's Scrooge who surprises you. Even here in the middle of this story, Ebenezer Scrooge reassesses his assets and finds his personal worth near zero. And he realizes poor Tiny Tim with a generous spirit has the highest investment in heavenly stock of all. Scrooge wants to change. Change becomes his Christmas wish. So the lesson I learned from the righteous young man and the low-down, short-sighted Scrooge is this. Open your eyes and see who you are. Open your eyes and see how others might need you to be. Open your eyes and see who you may become. And then become it. Give Jesus everything you've got and be merry for Christmas for him. Amen.